Back in session 10:45.
Thank you for your patience. I'm going to call the question of Mr. Imparato's request for a contested case hearing.
I'm prepared to make a motion to deny it, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second on this?
Second.
Any discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, thank you. We're going to proceed with Mr. Imparato's testimony. So we've made a decision to deny your request for a contested case hearing. If you're going to follow up on it, you need to provide a written appeal. Okay. You need to talk to the lawyers about what you need to do.
We'll figure that out. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So then, just to the testimony, then I would urge that you deny the permit. At least do some more research, because the safety concerns regarding the location of the project, I think, are considerable. In my testimony, I showed you one of the diagrams shows that one of the bedrooms of the house is about 30 feet away from a 30-foot slope. A year ago, if you had asked people, are these slopes stable on the north shore of Kauai, everyone would have said, fine. Our road's closed for over almost a year now because of the drops of previously stable slopes from Waini'a through Haena. And so I think prudence dictates that we re-examine the buffer zones that are needed in order to ensure that we have adequate space, given the rainfall and the climate change, that if that slope goes, that we have, DOT has adequate space to back up and carve another lane in the road like it's doing out at Waini'a. So that's one issue I hope you consider, that maybe more work needs to be done looking at the slope stability issue. The other thing that I hope you reconsider is the visual impacts. One of the pictures that's in the testimony that I sent you, it's very difficult to see, purports to say that the house is not visible. But the house actually is visible when you blow that picture up, and that's what you have to consider when you're in the valley, what things look like in front of you, not just the photograph. The house is relatively visible, and that's with the vegetation not taken out. I think it would be prudent to basically require, as other places do, that story poles be put up with sheeting between them, so we can actually put to rest the question as to whether and how much the house is visible, would be visible in its current location. And secondly, I think there's more work that needs to be done following up on Mina Marita's testimony regarding the intent that possibly that there's a history and possibly maybe some documentation that indicates that that property was never intended to be allowed to be built on in order to harm the viewplane. So with that, I just hope that you'll consider those two concerns, consider that more work needs to be done before granting a permit on this, examine the problems. I know myself and others are not trying to say that this party should not be allowed to build a house there. The question really is the location appropriate given the possible safety and visual impacts? So I thank you for your courtesy.
Okay. Tommy.
The slope that's causing a lot of problems in Waini'a, that's Lumahai, close to Lumahai.
Yeah, beyond Lumahai. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you look around, even from Hanalei Town, there are places where there's been major slides last year that we never had before.
I used to work for DOT, and that place always slid. That's why at one time, DOT was cutting a road, chewed up, making a shortcut where you're going around like this, around Lumahai. They were cutting it through and going to hit close to Lumahai Beach, but then it kept sliding every day. It would slide, so you know that area is not stable.
I think you're talking the Hanalei side of Lumahai there, right? Because the other slide is between Lumahai and Waini'a.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah.
When did you submit this to the staff?
Wednesday night. Wednesday night around midnight or so.
Was there a problem getting it sooner or to the board? Because we just received this yesterday afternoon. Board members, at least I did. Mm-hmm. Was it possible you could have done this earlier? We could have digested better, or?
I've tried to keep on top of things. I have a wife with Alzheimer's, that's a real problem, and so I apologize. I did make sure to send it in prior to the 24 hours
right.
prior to
right.
the deadline. It was never an idea to try to ram something, to hide anything here and all. I just, my time constraints, I'm sorry.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Okay.
I have something. The applicant has an engineering study on this question of slope stability in their environmental assessment. Do you have any specific criticism of how that was done, or do you have any background that makes you able to challenge that?
No, I'm not. I'm an electrical engineer, not a mechanical or soil person. But my recollection in reading that is that it primarily was looking at the question of whether placing a house or construction activity and the weight of the house or the swimming pool would actually trigger a problem, which is, I think, a separate question from what the setback ought to be from the slope in light of the climate change type issues that we've been experiencing on the North Shore. I don't believe that second set of issues was addressed at all in that slope stability, in that extra study. That's my impression.
Uh-huh. So your issue with the setback is, explain that more.
Okay. If the slope fails,
yes.
As many of the slopes have failed recently after the April floods, it very well may be that DOT needs to carve further Malka into the mountainside.
I see.
And if, for example, bedroom one of the house
yes.
is right now located 30 feet from the 30% grade, there may be insufficient room. So given that this is conservation land and there's
yes.
not a 100% right to build in any way one wants, I think that the state would be prudent in basically asking the question, do we have enough buffer to deal with this kind of problem, since we have an opportunity today to ensure that if it does happen, the residents of the valley won't have a bigger problem than otherwise.
Okay, I'm trying to really understand, and you've explained it pretty well, but just so I really understand, your issue is not really that the construction of this house might exacerbate a possible problem of landslides, soil slumpage off of the existing cliff.
You're correct.
It's just that this may happen anyway, and it may get worse because of climate change, and that you want to make sure that the state has enough room without expending a lot of money to make somebody move a portion of their house to build retaining walls or other kinds of slope stabilization.
That's basically correct. Same way we talk about retreating from the oceans.
Okay. Your testimony is quite clear to me now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, Dan.
As I heard the proposal, we're talking about getting up to 30 feet from the slope, as close as 30 feet from the slope. Are you requesting a setback of that 30 feet, make it greater, so it gives DOT a greater opportunity if they have to cut into that slope to prevent slides onto the highway, that they have public property to do that?
Basically correct.
Okay.
The documents that you have basically talk about the setback of the structure from the property boundary. And I think that that's not really what's relevant. I think what's relevant is the setback of the structure from the crest, from the start of the slope, and that an adequate buffer zone be there.
And how far would that be, if you have an opinion on that? What's reasonable?
I really don't have an opinion. I think that's the kind of thing that still needs to be looked at prior to granting a permit. Uh, DOT, I think they did not even, and I'm not disrespecting Larry Dill, he's got his hands full, but DOT didn't even send in written comments that we've seen on this, and I'm not sure how much time DOT has invested.
You've looked at the slope. What do you think, from your eye view, how far back should it be set back?
Well, I think it's credible to say we need at least 50 feet of buffer there, especially given the fact that it will allow for a very large residence to still be built. In my testimony, I said 100 feet because that was just a number pulled out of there. And I don't purport to say that there's anything magical about my 100 or 50. I don't have the qualifications.
So, I have a question then. So, you want us to put a setback on a property for DOT?
Well, I would phrase it setback to allow the residents some security by allowing.
Not the residents, it would be DOT because they're the ones who would have to stabilize the shoulder. The residents not going to stabilize the shoulder. So you want us to put a setback for DOT purposes?
Setback for highway protection purposes, yes. So, highway resilience purposes.
Are we in the position to do that?
To create a setback?
For to protect DOT's interest in a potential slope stabilization project in the future. I mean, I would say no.
Because I know DOT. I live on a highway. DOT has a 15-foot setback already from there right away onto my property. It's a standard thing. DOT's everything is 15 feet, but you know, unless they come out and say they want more, then they would need to.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Next up is Paul.
Sorry.
Paul Kino?
Kino?
Paul Kino. I'm sure you get that all the time.
My name is Paul Kino. I live on Kauai also, and I've been there for 37 years now. And I was friend of the applicant, Michael Giron, and I've been assisting him since I am on island with getting all of his studies and reports done on the property. We did soil samples and the archaeology and everything before the application was submitted, and I have been dealing with Larry Dill at Department of Transportation on the ever since the flood, and also where this slide took place on the end of the property. And I've been out there, and Mr. Giron has basically told DOT that they have free access to the property, that they would create any easements necessary for DOT to handle whatever remediation work would be needed for the property to if there were future landslides.
Okay, thank you. Questions?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Beginning of your testimony, you said you was a friend. You're not a friend?
No, I am.
Other questions? Okay, thank you very much. Is there any other testimony on K1? No further testimony. Okay, board members, do you have any further questions of Sam or the applicant?
So this will be done, Jean Campbell.
Done.
They did a hydraulic study. And that hydraulic study would cover flooding, you know, or slope stabilization.
Yeah, I can't, you know, I can't say that I read that study word for word, but the purpose of it, because of the site has some interesting hydrology. When we went to the site, even though it hadn't really seemed to be raining a lot, you know, the ground seemed a little bit soft. So we were wondering how the water flowed through the property, right? Was it sort of sheet flow, or it went through channels, or the depth? Or how was it running through the property? And so if you're developing a property, you know, and putting in a swimming pool, even though this is going to be on post and pier, I think. No?
No, it's on a foundation.
It's on a foundation, sorry. Well, so you're digging a foundation and you're putting in a pool. You want to know what's happening with the subsurface hydrology. They didn't, the report, I recall, Alex read it. Alex is actually a geologist. And he felt that the report didn't raise any red flags, anything abnormal about the hydrology that would give you caution to do any sort of work on the land. There was nothing in it that really stuck out for us that we had to be aware of. That's all I can really relate on that. But we asked for it, and we did it.
Chris?
I just want to make sure I understand the lay of the land here. The property is on a low point of this long, skinny lot, right? The lot runs down, basically.
No, it runs a little bit. It's a long, linear lot that abuts Cujillo Highway.
I understand. Yeah,
and it kind of does. There's a lookout.
The lookout.
Yeah.
It's downhill from the lookout. I mean, as you're running, it's a little, it's a slight downhill.
It's a little grade, yeah.
All right, okay. So, and from what I'm understanding, the issues that have occurred with some soil runoff or landsliding is on the, you go down the Cujillo Highway, you make a hairpin, and on the side of the, on the edge of the highway on the end of the property that's more toward the Hanalei Bridge, is where we've had this problem.
Correct.
Okay. The portion of their property that is directly above that, where that problem is occurring, is slightly uphill of the proposed house site.
Very, very slightly.
But still.
Pretty much level, but it's there's a little.
All I'm trying to get at is that the water, you know, you have a house, you have a roof, you have more concentrated runoff, but the water from the house itself will not flow uphill and then come down the cliff to the location where they've been having problems in the past. And where the house is located, which is closer to the hairpin turn, there's the slope is much less.
Yes.
The slope from this, I mean, part of the slope is on this. Most of the slope is on this property, right? From the house site down to the
Cujillo
Highway. Most of the slope there is on the property, and DOT has a right of way for part of it.
Correct.
Okay. I'm just trying to understand.
No, it's
the lay of the land here, and make sure I understand this runoff issue as best I can.
Yeah, you know, Alex is a geologist. He's he understands hydrology really well, and that was one thing we were really concerned about. Was all of these issues, and so we made sure that they did the hydrology and drainage, the runoff, the slope issue, the soils, and Alex came back to me and he said, I've looked at this stuff and he just couldn't find any
reason,
significant sort of concern about that particular issue.
So the other major. The other major concern here is the viewplane, and of course, it's a really prominent area. And when I first looked at the application, I know where this is, and you could you could build an awful thing up on this ridge, honestly. And I do think the applicant recognizes this and doesn't want to make everybody mad that lives in, you know, anywhere, possibly, you know, anywhere on the island of Kauai, but definitely, you know, everybody in Honolulu. They could have made a house that maximized their own view and would have been much more prominent. Sometimes I'm concerned about our conditions being enforceable. However, in this case, if they violate the condition, we're going to get a complaint. I mean, people are going to see it. It's not like something where we said, like, you know, like if we had a condition about, you know, having a gravel driveway instead of a paved driveway, you know, if they made a paved driveway near their house where nobody could see it, you know, maybe they would get away with it. This condition, if they violate it. people are gonna be howling, right?
Maybe you should include a condition that, you know, gives us another position, because believe me, we're gonna get a lot of complaints
if this condition is violated.
Regardless,
it's not gonna be a secret.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I have.
Okay. Other questions? No further questions. Okay. Thank you. Board members, somebody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve staff's recommendation.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Okay, if not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, thank you.
D6.
Okay, D6.
Good morning, Chair and Board Members. Kevin Moore, Land Division. D6 is a request by the Army Corps of Engineers for a right of entry to various state encumbered and unencumbered lands around the Alawai Canal and up gradient within the drainage basin of the Alawai Canal to do due diligence work as part of the Alawai Flood Control Project. And the due diligence will include things such as boring, digging test pits, but this is not the right of entry for construction of anything. And so the staff recommendation is to approve the right of entry to the Army Corps.
Okay, questions, board members?
You know, when I look at the exhibits, B1, B2, B3, it seems like the potential actions are far more than just around the Alawai Canal.
Right.
So, I mean, your characterization of it as around the Alawai, I mean, B3 in particular, goes all the way up to the Ko'olau summit crest.
Right, so I said drainage basin above.
Yeah, right. You know, drainage basin, most people picture something relatively small, whereas this is the entire valley of Manoa and adjacent valley.
Okay, so it's a large area, yes.
Yes, it is. Okay, good. I just, you know, okay. We need to make this clear when we're in public.
All right.
Record. And so this is asking for permission to access any of these areas for a variety of projects.
That's correct, for due diligence.
Right. And so I presume then that any of those actions will likely also come before the board for consideration. And this is just the first step in allowing access to the Army Corps of Engineers.
Right. So, I mean, they could do their boring on the lands with this approval if it's given today. But for any long-term construction of the project, that would have to come back to the board.
Okay, other questions?
And this is all state property?
Yes.
Although it does include leased lands, yes?
It includes encumbered, so EOs to the county and others, leases.
I have a question.
Yep.
Some testimony about talking about a high wall around the Alawai Canal. What's the relevance of that right now?
I don't think it's too relevant to this right of entry, but the applicant is here, and I think there's some other people who could speak to the larger project if we have those questions.
I'd like to hear.
Yeah, what do we have? The applicant, which would be important.
Good morning.
Very good.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Jeff Herzog. I am the project manager for the Alawite Canal Flood Risk Management Construction Project for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Honolulu District. So I've provided a statement, which I believe was provided to you this morning. However, I am available for your questions and clarification on the application.
Stan, did you want to ask your question?
Yeah. I think more than one testimony said, oh, there's going to be a high wall around the Alawite. Can you address that?
Yes. Yes, sir. So where we are at in this phase of the study is from 2000 to 2017, they conducted a feasibility study in order to determine whether there was a federal interest, i.e., is it environmentally safe, and is it economically justified for the federal government to invest in a flood risk mitigation project to protect the Alawite watershed, which includes the Alawite Canal. Throughout that period, there was numerous structural and non-structural measures that were analyzed, and a tentatively selected plan, a recommendation was made to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers headquarters for what features could provide a level of protection to the community, the infrastructure, and the economy of the Alawite watershed, Honolulu and Waikiki, so that we could economically justify the project. One of those was, due to space constraints along Alawite Canal and the Alawite Boulevard, which is very heavily trafficked, it was determined that a levee would not be sufficient or cost-effective. However, a flood wall, which could detain the water within the canal, both tidally for influenced from sea level rise as well as riverine flooding, an inundation as it came down through the canal, through the tributaries of the three valleys, the Makiki, the Manoa, and the Palolo valleys. So there was an economic justification and environmental justification for flood walls. What we are requesting with this rights of entry is to go in now and do further topographic survey work to get more exact elevations along the canal, as well as geotechnical information through borings in order to determine what type of wall or feature would be most appropriate to go along there. And we are currently working with the City and County of Honolulu as well as DLNR engineers as we progress through this process. But where we are at right now is a tentatively selected plan that calls for some sort of flood wall feature as opposed to a levee feature along the Alawite Canal as the economically justified structural measure to contain water within the canal and keep it from overflowing. It's a very long answer to a simple question. I apologize.
Do you have to go to the city and county for approval of this?
Yes, sir. So
you have to go to public hearing on that.
So we will. What we will do is we will take this rights of entry and we will incorporate it as part of our request for proposal through a contractor to come in and do the geotechnical. However, there is still the permitting process and all of the work that it will be done in cooperation with the City and County of Honolulu.
Who makes the decision, if you know, about the height of any such barrier?
So what we will do is we will make that determination. There's dam safety requirements, there's levee safety requirements, and then there's the economic justification as to what the height of the barrier is.
Does the city and county make this decision?
They, city and county is a member of the project delivery team and will help us in making these determinations. Yes, sir.
That's all, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Other questions?
Yes, I have one, if they still have.
Go ahead.
So we received a letter of concern from one of the leaseholders in Makiki, and can you quickly summarize what is intended for Makiki, just so that they could potentially allay those concerns?
So coming up Makiki Road, and then you turn left on Round Top Drive on your way up to Tantalus, is the easiest landmark to point everybody to. Mm-hmm. On the left-hand side, you have the Makiki Stream that comes down, and then it crosses underneath the road and travels down. So the intent of this is the infrastructure that is downstream was not necessarily designed to withstand a 1% or a 2% annual chance of exceedance event, which commonly is known as a 50-year or a 100-year level event. However, the idea of the project is to put a structure in place in order to reduce the outflows from that structure to maintain a 10 to 15-year level of event so that the infrastructure downstream, the bridges and such, are not overwhelmed and create an additional damming effect, which creates sheet flooding throughout the community. So because we are reducing the outflows, then we have to maintain a certain level of storage capacity upstream of that, as well as a debris catchment so that it does not overwhelm the debris structure, or the detainment structure itself. So what you have in McKeeke Stream is a detainment structure with an outflow that will maintain outflows of between a 10 and 15 year level of event so as to not overwhelm the infrastructure. And then upstream of that, you will have what we call a debris catchment structure, essentially steel ballards that come up so that as the debris flows down off of the mountainside, it's detained there and does not create a dam down at the other end. And we have the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Dam Safety Center of Expertise as an active member on that design team, and we have to meet all of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers as well as the state of Hawaii dam safety requirements for that containment structure. So.
So, and in the realization of that, I guess I'm curious about what stage this is in. I mean, you're not ready to put shovel to earth right now. You're going to be designing and.
Yes, sir. So what we will have to do is we will have to do a dam safety hazard analysis on this project. But in order to do that, we need to make sure that we have the topographic surveys, the exact elevations, and the geotechnical makeup of that area so that we can do a good dam safety hazard analysis and come up with a design. So in the reality, we are creating an integrated system here, similar to systems throughout the country, where it's not just one feature, and if that feature fails, then the whole project fails. It's an integrated system with checks and balances. And where I would say we are at is probably a 15 to 30% conceptual design. We know what features would be economically justified. However, what the exact makeup of those features in place are still to be determined until we get that further geotechnical analysis.
I see. So after the analysis, or maybe concurrent with them, you'd be contacting all of the landowners affected and the stakeholders in this process?
Absolutely, yes, sir. We have, we're working closely with City and County of Honolulu and DLNR in order to make sure that we are communicating throughout this entire process. We have several checks and balances and reviews that go this project will go through.
With the testimonies that we've seen here, it doesn't seem that you have your checks and balances, especially with people coming across, and you know, stakeholders are saying that they were not aware of it. They're
yes.
not vetted properly. So, and these are names that are, you know, Iolani School, Hokulani Elementary. I mean, these are formidable people, and they feel it's not been vetted properly. The final EIS is a lot smaller than what it is today of the project. And so I'm just curious.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm waiting for James.
You're done.
Okay.
Would you like me to answer, sir, or would you like...
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and answer him,
answer
and then...
That.
Yes, absolutely. So from, in the, and it's available on our public website, however, the final feasibility study with integrated feasibility, the environmental impact statement, Appendix G is the public involvement. And what I've done is because I've received those testimonies as well, and I've highlighted, and I will be happy to share with you where the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in 2015 to 2017, when we received those comments, we provided a written response to them, as well as we have discussed with them. However, I do understand their concern, and where the message needs to get conveyed, and where we take partial responsibility in this is that we are not at a 35, 65, 95 design point yet. We are at a point where we have economically and environmentally justified this project for federal interest. And now we need to go in partnership with the City and County of Honolulu and the State of Hawaii and get the technical data necessary and communicate that with the community and the public members.
Thanks. Great.
Yes, sir.
Stan.
Well, we have flood litigation, one of the principal areas of examination on what kind of modeling and conceptual design the developer did ahead of time. So if you're making a dam safety hazard analysis, I suspect you're going to have to use some kind of computer model or some kind of, I don't know what kind of model you use under these circumstances, but you're going to have to project where the water is going to go depending on what year storm. You're saying 10 to 15 year event. That could, 15 year event's a big event. So how are you going to determine whether or not the, through your analysis, whether or not the structure, the structures that you're going to develop can hold that amount of water? What are you going to do to model it?
Yes, sir. Very good question. I appreciate the opportunity to answer. The initial modeling for the feasibility study was done with a HECRAS one-dimensional model. It was essentially a numerical model utilizing cross-sections throughout the watershed to develop that. And it what it did is it provided us with a rough order of magnitude for inflows and outflows during certain levels of storms, whether it's a 10, 15, 20, 50, 100-year, 500-year, or even what we call a PMF, a probable maximum flood. And we utilized that those outflows in order to determine then an inundation map, which was done during the feasibility study and is available in the H&H, the Hydraulics and Hydrology Appendix of the feasibility study on our public webpage. Now, that was done for the feasibility level as a risk-informed decision to save money, both the city and county of Honolulu, state of Hawaii, and the federal government to determine is it economically justified before we move forward. What we have already, and we are in the ongoing process of doing right now, is what's called a HEC 2D model, HEC being the Hydraulic Engineering Center of Expertise for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. It's a two-dimensional model of unsteady state flows in order to verify and validate that the inflows and outflows of these structures was accurately done during feasibility in order to determine the actual amount of capacity for storage that we need from these detainment structures. Also with that, we are also doing an unsteady state 2D model of inundation so that we will get a better idea of what the inundation will look like throughout the community so that we can refine our design and refine our concepts from the 15 to 30% where they are at now into a 35% design so that we can then accurately do that dam safety hazard analysis.
That's enough.
Yes, sir.
Thanks. All right, other questions? Okay, thank you. We'll come back to you if we have any more questions. Okay, let's see, we're on D6. Dave Watase.
Hi, good morning. My name is Dave Watase, one-man band, hoping to build an army to fight the Army Corps, crazy ideas regarding the Alawai Canal project. I'm a resident of Honolulu. I grew up in St. Louis Heights. I went to Hokulani Elementary School, played Little League baseball at Kaneohe Park, went to Our Redeemer Lutheran School, St. Louis High School. I'll be 60 years old this year. I'm married with three adult children. My wife is a graduate of McKinley High School. My father was born and raised in Waimea, Kauai. My mother was born and raised in Kohala on the Big Island. Unfortunately, I was born on the mainland. My parents screwed up, and I was born in Boston. So So as much as I want to be a local, I'm a Kotong. Okay, I'm here to testify against granting the United States Army Corps of Engineers the right of entry to state lands. My involvement in this project is because I'm a stakeholder who was left out of the process. The Army Corps targeted my property in Palolo Valley for a detention basin in September of 2015. I received a letter from DLNR allowing me only 2 weeks advance notice to submit public comment, and was told that the Army Corps had engineered and designed a detention basin on my property years in advance of my knowledge and planned eminent domain condemnation. I have since been living under the veil of this threat. The letter from DLNR had a link to the draft EIS, which was over 1,000 pages long. I spent hundreds of hours reading and trying to understand what this project was all about and what was happening. My wife and I immediately objected in writing to Ms. Case, September 28th letter, which I've attached, and told them that we had a future plans to CPR the land for our children. I'm going to skip that section. Because it's kind of personal and it's going to make me cry. Anyway, I followed up with several letters pointing to many false and misleading statements, including flaws, errors, inaccuracies, and data collected, the methodology, modeling, and property damage figures for the Ottawa Canal project. I ended up understanding the whole project, whole scope of the project in my study, and took it upon myself to personally tour and inspect all the affected areas. I then came up with several alternatives and submitted them in writing addressed to DLNR. It should be noted that I never received one single reply, phone call, letter, or knock on the door from DLNR to any of my several letters. I also signed up for the Army Corps mailing list, but never received a single email informing me of any follow-up meetings or progress updates of the draft EIS. Now, in Appendix G, the Army Corps did respond to all the people who submitted comments. But if you look at it, they're all template responses. There are many private property stakeholders who were not contacted or not engaged properly. And the response to their letters were basically a link to how the eminent domain condemnation laws work. Telling you, don't worry, you'll be properly compensated. You know, that's all they did. Okay, and it's in Appendix G. Okay, the project, which is included in the final EIS, and Appendix G, under public agency involvement, states the range of potential stakeholders is large and includes landowners, community members, environmental and community organizations, elected officials, and public agencies. Upon further examination of the previously scoped projects, other private landowners were made stakeholders in the past and invited to participate in the process. However, this time, the Army Corps and DLNR clearly did not engage in any affected private property owners. What I'm saying is, the Ottawa Canal project, I think, was rescoped around 2012. But this project has been ongoing from 1998, and it's been like a 20-year project that nothing's ever been done.
Mr. Watase, I'm going to ask you to summarize your testimony now,
okay,
please. Thank you.
So what I want to do is go through some of my handouts very quickly,
I
can.
You're already at 5 minutes, so
okay.
I want to ask you to please summarize and conclude.
There are several stakeholders who recently met for the first time this past week, and we shared our issues and concerns. The number of interested stakeholders are growing, and as these issues become publicized. Anyone who reads through the EIS will clearly see that the project was all wrong. I believe that the BLNR has an obligation to serve in the best interest of the public and be able to distinguish right from wrong and good from bad. Your vote should not be done on a whim. It should not be based on financial opportunities or solely on public opinion. Each one of you should educate yourself and dig into the final EIS and see for yourself if the Army Corps and DLNR did their due diligence, selected the best alternatives, and followed the process of law. You should question how and why the EIS got finalized and how Congress passed funding for this project. It would be premature and a waste of taxpayers' money to grant right of entry for exploratory work to the Army Corps because ultimately the public uprising will stop it. Okay. I've attached a recent letter of support from Council Member Ann Kobayashi, whose office did properly investigate the issues. Please give us a chance. We've only begun outreaching into the community. I'm not sure how my request to contest works, but like I said, I only found out about this hearing this week, and we met with a handful of stakeholders, actually about a dozen stakeholders at Paradise Park last Saturday, and most of them weren't able to generate a letter of testimony to you. I think you've received several from Halau, Kumana, Paradise Park, the owners of the Hui near Pukeli Detention Basin, and maybe, my property is affected by the Waimau Detention Basin, and, a few of those people were able to write. But there are many more people who live around these detention basins.
Are you making a request for a contested case?
I really don't understand the process. Like I said, it's the first time I've ever, testified in this manner. So I was basically on the website. I didn't even know that there was a 24-hour, rule. And if I knew you guys needed time to read it, and I knew way in advance I was submitted this stuff, a month ago, and it may have been available for questioning. And this does involve, I think thousands of people, the canoe clubs that use the Alawai, the joggers that jog around the Alawai. None of these people know about an average 4-foot solid concrete wall around the Alawai. If you do read the attachments that I have, you'll find out the Makiki detention basin really doesn't do any, as an example, doesn't do anything for Makiki. It floods.
Excuse me. I'm going to treat your statement as a request for contested case. So I want to just ask you to please describe your property interest that is affected by this action.
Okay. My personal interest is I have property on 1 mile road, it has almost 30,000 square feet of R5. I bought it as an investment to create a legacy for my children so I could someday subdivide it for them so that they could afford to have a home in town.
And it's a property identified for part of the...
The dam is smack dab in the middle, the access road. They need my whole property.
Okay, thank you. All right, I think we need to go into executive session.
I suppose.
I mean, if you want to make a decision.
Just to clarify, staff, this right of entry does not authorize the Army Corps of Engineers to go onto this gentleman's property.
No, it's only for state land.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Move to go to executive session to consider the request for a contested case hearing in order to consult with our attorneys about the legal issues raised.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 11:32. Going to executive session.